This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Raves. Over the past couple of editions of A-State Connections, you've been learning from students with Red Wolves for Red Wolves that have been working with Arkansas State and other local, state, and national partners to save the American Red Wolf. Today, we talk to two experts in the field. Regina Mazzotti is a director of animal care and conservation at the Endangered Wolf Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Chris Lesher is an animal management supervisor at the North Carolina Zoo. He also coordinated a conference that was held in Arkansas that brought experts from around the country to talk about how to save the American Red Wolf. Mazzotti talks about the specific annual species survival plan that happens across the country.
It's where groups of experts come from all over the country to plan the next year's conservation efforts, both in the zoological side and as well as working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on ways that we can help with conservation in the wild.
Right. And what we also do is we do reporting of all the research and information that's been gathered over the course of the year. So there's the planning process of the actual animals on the ground, but there's also a lot of research that goes on within the SSP and a lot of other information that is gathered. And those people are invited to come to our meetings and report out their findings, and then we discuss those findings and use that good science towards making the good decisions.
So you're in North Carolina, Chris. Regina, you're in St. Louis, around the St. Louis area. And how'd y'all come together with this partnership to be able to try to help with saving the Red Wolves?
So, I mean, it's North Carolina, it's St. Louis, it's all over the entire country. We have partners for the Red Wolf SSP, which is the Species Survival Plan. I'm not sure we said that. All over the country from it started... It started out, the first organization was Regina in St. Louis and Point Defiance Zoo and Aquarium out in Washington State. But pretty much what it comes down to is any facility that wants to work with the American Red Wolf and tell the story of the American Red Wolf as a valuable species to the Americas, to the East Coast of the United States, joins our SSP, and we work together.
We hear about that it is critically endangered, and that why, what led to this problem? Why is it such a problem for Red Wolves?
So in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the U.S. government actually had a bounty out on all large carnivores, wolf, bear, mountain lion, you name it. And the thought back then was if we can reduce those, we'd have less competition for the things that we like to hunt, like deer and elk. But unfortunately, what we realized is that everything in the ecosystem is connected. Ecology is a relatively new science, a new study, and we didn't realize at that point what a negative impact we were making on the environment. And we've seen, as we've lost a lot of those different species, the red wolf was one of them that was almost lost. It was down to just a handful of animals left in the wild. That without them, everything falls apart. The ecosystem becomes very unhealthy, and Yellowstone was a really good example of that. What we saw in Yellowstone is in 1995, they reintroduced the gray wolf back into the park. It had been devoid of wolves for over 70 years. When the wolf was gone, the elk and the deer populations skyrocketed because nothing was there to help keep the populations in check and balance. When those populations skyrocketed, they ate everything down to the dirt. They would eat the plants, the trees, the shrubs, the flowers. As trees would fall, no new trees were there to replace them because the elk and the deer were eating the saplings. And so with that, a lot of diversity left the park. Beavers left the park, waterfowl left the park, ground nesting birds left, butterflies, insects, amphibians, everything was affected by this. When the wolves came back, what they saw is that the wolf population was starting to bring the elk back to where it was naturally, which is called a healthy carrying capacity. It's what the ecosystem can hold. With that, they started to see the shrubs and the flowers and the trees return. Then the beaver came back, built beaver ponds. We saw waterfowl come back because now they had nesting areas. Different endangered species of fish like steelhead trout now had estuaries in those ponds to be able to have spawn fish. And so that diversity started to come back to the park. And we realized, oh my gosh, this is why we are doing what we're doing. We knew it was important to save those apex predators, but seeing that cascade effect is what drives me and Chris and all the people that are here this week at the Species Survival Plan to work so hard on behalf of the American Red Wolf.
You know, in a nutshell, what it comes down to is we were naive to think that removing an apex predator from the ecosystem would only have a small effect. And what it did was it destroyed the entire ecosystem, and man cannot replace the apex predator as in that same niche. We tried. I mean, that's why when, you know, wolves were not brought back, you know, until the 1980s, because man thought they could be that apex predator in the ecosystem, but we cannot, because we didn't understand the entire impact that an apex predator has on the ecosystem. So what we're trying to do is not just save the red wolf, but save the ecosystem that we're a part of, that man is a part of. So having the red wolf on the landscape in the eastern part of the United States actually creates a healthier ecosystem and a healthier environment for man.
I actually, just to add to that, I think one of the coolest things about working with carnivores is seeing what Chris was just talking about, is how they benefit us. Mm-hmm. So I'm a native to the Missouri-Arkansas area, and one of the things that's affecting our state right now is chronic wasting disease. It's a good example of an animal that wolves would want to hunt. Wolves focus on the sick and the weak in a population. So they're going after the ones that have disease, that are elderly and not helping the population anymore. And the reason why is because they're not going to go up against that big, strong buck and risk getting hurt and waste that much energy. They're going to go after those sick ones. And they're not a vector species for a lot of those diseases, so they can help eliminate those diseases from transmitting to the rest of the deer population that we love to hunt, but also reduce the risk of it transmitting to our livestock that we rely on. I grew up in a hunting family, and one of the things that I see also as a benefit to having an apex predator around is ground nesting birds are really important to a lot of my family. And without the wolf there, there are smaller carnivores like possums and raccoons and coyotes that overpopulate and affect those ground nesting birds because they'll go after them, where that's not really a prey species for wolves. But wolves keep those small carnivores, their populations in check, and so they don't have such a negative impact. The other thing I think is really interesting about apex predators is they can actually help us in a battle against a lot of invasive non-native species. For example, feral hogs, nutria, coyotes aren't native to the Missouri-Arkansas area and fill a very different niche in the ecosystem than wolves do. And that's one of the benefits I see to us as well, is a lot of those animals do damage to our crops and to our land. And so I really see a lot of benefits to humans, and that's another thing that drives us to be able to help save these animals.
Regina Massotti and also Chris Lasher join me here on KASU. So what's been kind of the plan? How have you all been trying to work to be able to do this? I know this is probably a long process to be able to do this, but can you kind of sum how have you all been trying to work to try and save the species?
So, I mean, that's really a large question, and I'm not sure how to answer that without giving you about 3 hours of tape. But, I mean, there's really two folds that the SSP does to try to save the red wolf. And the nuts and bolts of it is the actual animals at our facilities maintaining a viable breeding population of red wolves in facilities that belong to the SSP under human care, to make sure that at the very least this animal still exists somewhere. So we do that by creating good genetically sound pairs, using good science the science that's available to us to maintain the species as a true red wolf. We only had 14 animals that we're working from. So back in the late 70s, early 80s, all the wolves were trapped and removed from the wild, and we know through morphological testing that we had pure red wolves, but there was only 14 of them that bred. So every red wolf alive today, we know, is a descendant of those pure 14 red wolves that were removed from the wild years ago. And we use the best science we can to make sure we don't get those genetic bottlenecks and those interbreedings to maintain a good, viable population of red wolves in human care. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what we're doing for the wolf itself. The bigger component of what we try to do is create a knowledge of the wolf to all the guests that visit our parks, and outreach to as many people as we can get to create understanding of why the red wolf is important to the ecosystem of its natural home range. We talked a little bit about that already, but having the red wolf on the ground with no place for it to go is a lost cause. I mean, there's no end game. So our end game really is to change the mindset of people in the eastern part of the United States to understand why the red wolf is important to them. So we have a place to put these animals back in the wild. Try to create a healthier ecosystem, and eventually, the red wolf should be able to sustain itself in this healthy ecosystem on its own.
Regina?
I think, to me, one of the coolest things about the Species Survival Plan is, as Chris mentioned earlier, this population got down to just a handful. I mean, it was as close to extinction as you can get, with 14 individuals left in the wild. The red wolf is native to the entire southeastern United States, from Missouri over to the East Coast, down to Florida, and over to Texas. Having just 14 animals left, zoological institutions across the United States stepped up to the plate and said, how can we help save this American icon? How can we bring this species back from the brink of extinction? And what they did, and what Chris manages, is 43 institutions. That's crazy. That's amazing. 43 institutions across the United States are willing to put in staff time, money, the effort to save this species. They are at their facilities breeding them, saving them, educating the public about how awesome they are, and working with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service on efforts to bring them back and put them back into the wild. Right now, the only place that you can find the red wolf is in North Carolina. Hopefully someday that will change, and we'll be able to bring the red wolf back to more states in the southeastern United States where they're native to. Because this is America's wolf. It is solely native to the United States. It's the only large carnivore that is. I mean, it's more American than apple pie and baseball combined, in my biologist perspective. And it is, and again, as a Missourian and native to Missouri, knowing that it's a species that was native here even drives that home even more of how can we save this wolf? And that's what's so neat about this meeting.
So tell us about how you all started working with Arkansas State University in that regard, if you don't mind, please.
So the Endangered Wolf Center and Arkansas State University came together a few years ago. The red wolf is the mascot, as we all know, of a state, and that just changed a little over a decade ago. And what we realized when they were coming to play a university that was close to us is that there are more wolves, there are more football players on A-State's football team than there are wolves out in the wild. And yet this university has the ability to make a huge impact on the future of their mascot, of the American Red Wolf. And when we sat down and talked to them about this conservation need, they were like, oh my God, how can we help? And they have just changed so many minds and have worked so hard on the last couple of years on developing innovative ways to conserve an endangered species. And that is a huge legacy for a university. I can't think of many other universities out there who have done something like that. And I'm really proud of the work that A-State is doing.
In just a few years that A-State has been working with the Red Wolf SSP, the impact that they've had on the SSP and the American Red Wolf has been just gigantic. The impact on the politics of it, A-State is playing a role in that and making positive changes for the sake of the Red Wolf. Just the Biodiversity Center that A-State has now that they're now managing our postmortem collection, and our animals that have passed away are now being managed and collected by A-State, which is a repository for all this great genetic information that we can now store somewhere. We have some place to store it. We didn't have that before A-State came on board, and that's just huge for the future of this species to be able to have that collection available to us 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. So I cannot overstate how much A-State has been valuable to us and how much we really do appreciate the fact that they're part of the Red Wolf SSP now.
Right.
So how do y'all move forward now? I know y'all have been working on this, and that's probably another large question in that, probably. But how do you all start moving forward with this?
So that's part of what we're working on, is to develop a plan of how to not only grow the individuals, the population of red wolves, but also how to work with local communities to help us conserve the species out in the wild. And one of our biggest efforts is to hear from the public. We want to know, why do you want to us to save the species? Why is this species important to you? What are some of the best ways that we can go about saving the American red wolf? And help us in designing an innovative plan that we can implement and put forward in the next few years to be able to grow the conservation efforts.
All right, Chris. So, I mean, there's so many things that we can do that we need to do to move forward to protect the species. But ultimately, what it comes down to is making sure that there's enough people out there that want this species to be saved. So besides maintaining the viable population under human care, the next big step that we have to take is just getting the information about why this species is valuable to the individual, whether it's in a recovery area like Northeast North Carolina, or any potential recovery areas in the future, or even to anybody within the United States. Why is this animal valuable to you? And getting that information out there, alleviating concerns, and working with all the stakeholders that have something to do with the red wolf to make sure their opinions are heard, make sure that their concerns are addressed, and moving forward. It's the human-to-human conflict that needs to be solved before we can solve a human-red wolf conflict.
I think one of the things, too, that we have to really work on is undoing a lot of the myths that surround the wolf. Unfortunately, the wolf has its own fake news that surrounds it, too. And one of those is, I mean, think of what you've grown up with. Little Red Riding Hood, Three Little Pigs, even movies now. Disney had Frozen and Beauty and the Beast that just came out that portray this big bad wolf that's really big and scary. When in actuality, the wolf is a shy animal. The red wolf has not heard a human recorded history. They've been back on the landscape since 1987 in North Carolina, and they don't have run-ins with humans because they're so shy. They want to stay away from people. And changing that perspective from that big bad wolf to this animal that is a hero to the ecosystem that helps save it and helps make sure that it's healthy is one of our biggest goals.
Right. The education component of that. And I bet another part of that is the collaboration of different agencies in that. So I bet that's probably going to be another part moving forward.
Yeah.
Probably.
That is one of the things that I'm so impressed about and proud of the Red Wolf conservation effort is how much collaboration is going on, because you can't do conservation without collaboration. That is the key component of it. And you've got a state, you've got the Species Survival Plan, you've got the Smithsonian Institution, you have the Association of Zoos Aquariums coming together. All of these different partners are coming together to work together to save the species. That is how important this effort is.
That's it. Chris?
Yeah, and we can't forget about the government entities that we're working with also. So U.S. Fish and Wildlife is charged by the Endangered Species Act to save endangered species, and that's what the red wolf is. So by law, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife has to have some type of recovery program as long as there is red wolf still alive. So we work very closely with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we want to work very closely with all the government agencies down to the local level that potentially might have red wolves on the ground, and then not forget about the landowners that are there also, and not forget about the non-governmental organizations that have a stake in this also. So our goal is to kind of be that glue that holds all these organizations together and gets working together, sit them down at the table to find common ground and come up with a viable solution.
Regina Mazzotti and Chris Lesher on A-State Connections on KASU. And for KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves.